Messiah's Branch Broadcast, a one-hour prophecy program on the American Voice Radio Network, featuring Pastor Dan of Messiah's Branch Ministry. And now, here's Pastor Dan.
Greetings, saints, and welcome to the Messiah's Branch Prophecy Hour. We are broadcasting live from the Flint Hills of Kansas, and we're on the American Voice Radio Network. Today's date is October 20th, 2016. I must have a... folks, are you hearing me out there? Okay, I don't know, but saints, the world is in turmoil. Most just don't realize it, but we are in that time of the end. And that's the time before Messiah's glorious return. So it's time to get out of sin, the world, and look to the holy city. Look to the one who suffered and died for you. Please make this choice tonight. Please make this choice tonight. If you need help after this program, call me. I'll pray for you. I'll pray for you or with you. If you get the machine, please leave your name, your number, your prayer request and or message. Sorry about the shofar, folks. That's what threw me off, too, but that was just a little glitch, and we'll get by without it. Okay. But the phone number, of course, is 620-878-4682. And in emergency, my cell phone number is 316-619-4886. You can find updates with the breaking news, our ministry, radio program archives, email address, and our mailing address on our blog, which is very simply prophecyhour.com. That's prophecyhour.com. And if you just want audios archives, try messiahsbranch.com. Check out branch.podomatic.com. All sites are smartphone friendly. In fact, at branch.podomatic.com, they have an Apple app and an Android app for Google Play. Also, I challenge you to share these radio programs with two or three other programs. And again, folks, sorry for a little bit of a glitch. We had something wrong with our shofar file, which threw us all off. But we're rolling now. Remember, prayer requests can be sent by USA Postal and email with your return address and your phone number to call you back. These requests will be taken to the Wichita Mission Church, anointed with oil, prayed over, and sent back to you with no solicitation for donations. In fact, my wife says she just loses the address. Anyway, we are a national satellite radio program, which is simulcast live on the net internationally, so please pray about supporting airtime. If you care about the Wichita Mission Church, you have to care about the radio programs. Well, you wouldn't be listening, for one thing, but that's how we get our support for the Mission Church, is through these radio programs. Remember, we sell nothing. On another note, let's thank our listener base, which is worldwide. Like Lisbon, Portugal, Cape Town, South Africa, Tehran, Iran, Manila, Philippines, Finland, Melbourne, Australia, and in United States, San Jose, California, Omaha, Nebraska, Las Vegas, Nevada, Northport, Alabama, Austin, Texas, Milwaukee, Wisconsin, as well as Wichita, Kansas, which remains the largest group of listeners to our radio programs, at least when they go to podcast later tonight. Now, folks, San Jose, I have to say this last about 2 weeks, you folks over there have been, one day you would have more I would have more listeners on the podcast site from you, and the next day it would be Wichita, Kansas. So keep it up, San Jose, outdo Wichita. I just want to see people listen. Anyway, prayer, and we'll bring on tonight's guest. And I think your folks will really get something out of this program tonight. At least I pray so. Your Heavenly Father, in Yeshua HaMashiach's name, I pray. Father, I pray that radio tonight goes according to your will and not my will, nor our guest's will, Father. But please give everyone out there ears in which to hear the truth. And please, Father, glorify you and not us. So, Father, in Yeshua HaMashiach's name, bless this program tonight. Amen and amen. Well, tonight we're going to talk with the author of Practical Preparations for the Lord's Second Company. It's coming. The book is by L.M. Cobb, or rather, Lene L.M. Cobb. She prefers L.M., so that's what we'll call her. I came across this book while searching for a new radio guest for you. The website did not have many posts on it, but I sent an inquiry out to her anyway. I received this back from her. I have been given a mother grizzly's protective instinct, and when it comes to those I refer to as the last generations, those Christians that live and or die within the time frame of the Great Tribulation, my goal is to gift that generation with some hope and direction. I'm an anomaly. I know. I'm merely a woman. But it could be that part of what is missing from all the end times diatribe that was a woman's perspective. I identify with the creature in Romans, the creatures who we are to be, the husbandmen's stewards of the creature who is our helpmate, Isaiah 62, Revelation 12:6, and Romans 8. I'm not ignorant of the wilderness. I'm a military brat who has experienced the Creator and His creation from a young age. I taught outdoor education and later outdoor ed from a biblical perspective. I currently live with my husband in the foothills of the Olympic Rainforest in Washington State, a popular and perhaps strategic place for Christians and what I call unknowns. Now, folks, I do know a lot of people are moving up to that, I guess, the northwestern United States. There's a lot of people moving up there because they believe it's safe. A lot of preppers are heading up there. Merely a woman, really? She sure does not sound that way. And it stuck with me that she said it could be part of what was missing from all the end times diatribe or tribe that was a woman's perspective. I agree with that. As you folks know, I don't get very many women on this program. And you know, sure, I have my wife on occasionally. She talks more about the mission church. And we had Lori Cardoza more on not long ago. But, you know, these have been going into what I think this woman's going to talk about. So two things. I do not think women as merely. They are other halves created to be helpmates because we, the men, just couldn't do it all by ourselves. So the Father gave us women. In fact, I am not functional without my wife, as most of you know that listen to this program or should know. I agree we need more women in this talk. Oh, and I have not read the book as I normally do, but I haven't yet. So let's bring her on. Welcome, ALM. Are you there?
I am here. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you just fine. You must have a good telephone, or I got a good producer, one of the two or both.
Producer for sure.
Yeah, amen. Well, let's start with this. So you're an Army brat. Some people don't know what that is.
Well, I'm not an Army brat. I'm a military brat.
Oh.
My dad happened to be in the Navy during World War II. Then he went to college and became an officer in the Air Force. Flight squadron commander in charge of all the base supplies in Anchorage and Elmendorf during the 1964 earthquake. I went with him as a second grader to see who needed what after the quake struck. And then after he retired from the Air Force, he went back into the National Guard. So, yeah, I'm a military brat.
All right. I get what it means, dear, but a lot of people don't understand. Basically, raised in a military family with one or both of your parents being in the military and maybe happen to do a lot of traveling around. That's kind of the basics of it. Well, your dad is from the last great generation then.
Oh, yeah, he's still around.
And he's still around. Well, amen. Praise the Father for that. That really makes me happy. So from what your dad came from, he put a lot of your ideals in you about God?
Could you repeat that?
Did your father contribute to giving your ideals that you hold about God?
Definitely. I was raised Catholic. I am what I refer to as a basic Christian at this point. I foresee forever being a basic Christian. And but my both my parents are very religious. They've always believed in God and lived their lives as very good examples for me.
Right. Amen. Well, that's what I expected from that from the generation that you speak of your dad, through what wars that he's went through. That's what I expected, and from you. Well, so what? Okay, you're a basic Christian. Well, I kind of call myself a basic Christian in the sense that I just I read the Bible, and I read the Bible. I took it literally. For what it meant, just like you said, if it says then, it means then. If it says after this, it means after this. I believe the Bible for what it says. Is that your outlook on it?
Yes, that definitely is. Being raised in the military, there's a little slogan. I don't know. Did you spend time in the military?
No, I didn't. I just missed Vietnam. Actually, my favorite president was Richard Nixon, because just like 2 weeks before I was supposed to go to Kansas City to take a physical and go off to Vietnam where all my older friends had went, he declared no more drafts. So I've always called him my favorite president.
Well, there's a simple, what do they call them, acronym?
Yeah.
The letters are K-I-S-S, KISS. Keep it simple, stupid.
Yeah.
And I was raised in a family that, and in a time, that we were encouraged to ask questions and learn and explore, and yet the most important things were to keep it simple. And unlike a lot of other teachers of the Bible that make things overly complicated for people to believe, I think that things are much simpler. God is not a God of chaos and confusion.
Let's go with this, dear. Absolutely. I believe you can find salvation simply with the word. And I always say that at the mission church, just keep it simple. You know, when you describe something, keep it simple, because it is simple. There are different and deeper levels to it. Amen. But overall, his second coming and all the things are simple. And the fundamental things that we need to know are there simple. There are deeper levels. But the problem I have with a lot of guests is they'll get on and they'll talk, and, you know, they talk in a lot of biblical terms that are true, but they're on a deeper level, and the people on the receiving end, you know, they don't understand it because they're talking way above their, well, I'll call it way above their pay grade, so to speak, not meaning that person's smarter than
right.
them. Talking in different terms. So keeping it simple, I understand what you mean, and I want you to relax and do that. So, dear, what brought you to writing a book, Practical Preparation for the Lord's Second Coming? Having said that, if you wrote a book about that, that means you must live that lifestyle. Back to you.
Well, after surviving the earthquake in 1964, I've had experience enough to realize that, and I believed in God back then as a child, but you can't trust the ground that you walk on. You can't trust the ground that your house has its foundation on.
Right.
You can always trust God.
Yeah, amen.
Before the quake hit, we always had to keep at least two, a 5-gallon well, I'll call them jugs, but that's not what they were. They were kind of metal back then, but of
just
water.
I got it for you. Just relax. Use normal words. Don't search for first words. They'll understand it. Just relax and say it. Whatever comes to your mind. Go ahead.
Well, we were prepared for earthquakes even before the earthquake struck.
Mm-hmm.
And in moving around the country, everywhere I went, the one constant that always was there was the Lord and His creation. And I was a child that was out in the wilderness. While my mom was busy with my siblings who were younger, I was out in the woods with the moose or the bear, or in South Carolina, the gators and the snakes, or up here in Washington with the elk and the more bears and cougars. Anywhere I've ever been, I've always made it a point to know where I'm at, know what kind of things are around me, know where to go and some basics on what to do. And I advise everybody, of course, to be aware of that, even if they're living in the city, be aware of your surroundings.
Yeah, amen.
And so I've always been close to the Creator. And so when I was reading the Bible, and this was back in 86, I was reading the Bible, and while I was doing so, I was struck by the conundrums within Scripture that a lot of people have problems with. And the big one for me was, on one hand, the Lord is saying that the earth is going to be, you know, burnt up with fire and, you know, Armageddon, and, you know, there's going to be a new earth and stuff like that. And on the other hand, he's saying that the earth will be saved and redeemed, the creature. And that Zion's going to be there, and Jerusalem's going to come down, and so I'm wondering, you know, I'm asking God, well, how can both of these things be? How can they both be? And the answer was given to me kind of in a coin. One coin has two sides to it, the heads and the tails. It's still one coin. On one hand, we're not supposed to look for the day of the Lord. On the other hand, we're supposed to look for the day of the Lord.
Yeah, amen.
And so there's two sides to things.
Well,
at a minimum.
Right, right. You know, the word talks strongly about it. It says that and I'm going to paraphrase. It talks about you to the world. He's going to come as a thief in the night, but he says, "But to you, you're not in darkness, and you're not children of the darkness. So you would be aware of these things. You'd be aware of the time and the season. So while the people of the Father are aware of it, you feel it in your spirit, and so you know it. You should know it. You should feel it, and that's really the big difference, you know. Of course, we're not supposed to spend every moment of every minute looking for it, trying to put a date on it, but we know the time and the season, and we know when to prepare. Back to you.
There's a story that Jesus gives in Matthew 24:25, around that area, where he likens the days like Noah's day.
Right.
And two were in the field, you know, some people are grinding, some people are sleeping, and people often think of that as being the rapture. But I caution people when it comes to that, because in Noah's day, when he was building the ark, I don't think he was doing that in the middle of the city. And he wasn't working a regular job. He had already separated himself and his family. The people that the Lord is describing, when you time out the after this and thens, which I do believe God is a God of order, the people where one is taken and one is left, those people are living in their homes and working. They have not left Babylon, so to speak.
Right. I'm curious as to your outcome. Go ahead.
That is a time when the abomination that makes desolate has been set up. That is the time that they, by staying where they were and keeping on doing what they were doing, they have had to have accepted the mark of the beast.
Okay.
And Jesus says, where the eagles are gathered, that's where they're going. And I've seen eagles eating carcasses.
Right. Absolutely.
Just a word.
You have hit it. I'm going to tell you, look, you shouldn't stumble on this. I really know where you're going with it, and I probably am 100,000% in agreement with you. So go ahead. So you think one is taken and the other one is left. You set that up. You believe, you think that the one is taken is going where the eagles are, where the carcasses is, and that's where they're being eaten up. Now, that's what you said, right?
That's what I said, yes.
So basically what you're saying is the one that's taken, that isn't the rapture and taking them. That's the bad being taken to the great supper of the Lord.
And the one that's left, I don't even say that person's godly in the way that they didn't.
Let's go with this. I want to throw a whole bunch of clarity on what you just said. And you know what? You're really intelligent for having gathered that, because most people are indoctrinated and they believe the one that is taken is, that one's taken in the rapture. Well, you know, the Word also tells us that, let's give you a website and we got to go to break and we'll come back and talk. That's thelordssecondcoming.wordpress.com. thelordssecondcoming.wordpress.com. And of course, folks, you'll find a link to it on a website, and it's a direction on where to get the book. And I guarantee you, folks, we're going to have some surprising stuff for you when you get back in 3 minutes.
Right back.
This is Pastor Dan Catlin, and you're listening to Messiah's Branch Prophecy Hour on the American Voice Radio Network. Well, folks, please remember to pray tonight about a donation for our work with the homeless and poor from our mission church in Wichita, Kansas. You folks over there in Wichita, Kansas, we're getting ready for Thanksgiving next month, and we need people to volunteer to bring pies and cakes and dressing and turkey. Thanksgiving is the biggest day of the year for us. It's a day of thanksgiving to our Father in heaven for all that he has given us, and so it's a wonderful time, and it is the busiest time at Messiah's Branch. So pray about supporting us. You folks that are listen to us on radio, pray about sending a donation. We do need your support in all things. If you send a donation for Thanksgiving, make sure that you mark it for Thanksgiving. Otherwise, we really do need your help. We need donations for food, blankets, winter clothing, over-the-counter medications, well, the homeless need what you need. But also, I want to point out, specifically tonight, we're trying to transition, and we're getting closer every day to making this program a video program also. So we've got a really good video camera coming. Somebody's donated it. Somebody donated a digital recording board that's coming. We still need a few other things, and we also need your support for radio airtime. Radio airtime this month is past due, so we pray that you would help us pay it, because that's how this program has existed. That's how the Mission Church exists. We sell nothing. We have never sold anything. We have only been able to do what we do from your good graces, from the Father being able to put it on your heart to donate to us. And we also need King James print, large print Bibles for the people. But anyway, folks, remember, all donations, no matter what size, help. And the Father notices all donations that come from where? Your heart. And remember, if you don't want to donate to the poor, you still donate to radio, because these messages are important to get out. You can donate online or mail a check or money order, and you can find all that information at prophecyhour.com, prophecyhour.com. And now we're back with L.M. Cobb talking about Herba. L.M., are you there with me?
Yes, I am.
Okay, I want to bring a little bit of clarification to what we were talking about, and then we'll go on, because I want to ask you what's in your book. We were talking about two being taken, one taken and the other one left. Well, here's a parable that is going to exactly point to what it is. Anyway, in Matthew 13:24, we find, he says, another parable he put forth unto them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is likened unto a man which sowed good seed in his field. But while the men slept, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat, and went his way. But the blade was sprung up and brought forth fruit, and then appeared the tares also. So the servants of the house overcame and said unto him, sir, didst thou know that sowed good seed in thy field? From whence came the tares? And he said unto them, an enemy hath done this. The servant said unto them, wilt thou then that we go and gather them up? He said, nay, lest you gather up the tares, do you root up the wheat also with them. So let them both grow together until the harvest. And in the time of the harvest, I will say to the reapers, gather ye first the tares, and bind them in bundles, and burn them up, but gather the wheat into my barn. We're just back to you.
Amen. I cover that in the book, and so it's really edifying to hear you talk about that exact same parable.
Well, dear, you know, that's because, you know, you say you're a basic Christian. Well, you're a Christian that listens to the Holy Spirit, and you're not letting some man or woman direct you in how you read the book and what you find. Just like you said, they means they, then means then. And so you read the book, and you allow the Holy Spirit to teach you, and so therefore we should be on the same page, don't you think?
Amen.
Amen. Okay, so what can we find in your book? We broke the ice now. What can we find in your book?
Well, I go on with the importance of our relationships.
Right.
Because that's really what God is all about. He's all about relationships. And in Isaiah chapter 62, there's kind of an interesting thing here, and I'm theorizing that this is where we get the idea that we should be the stewards of the earth,
okay,
or the husbandmen to the earth. And in Isaiah 62, it says, you shall no more be termed forsaken, and your land shall no more be termed desolate, but you shall be called my delight in her, and your land married. For the Lord delights in you, and your land shall be married. When Romans, I think it's chapter 8 or 9, talks about the creature waiting for the to be redeemed, the glorious liberty of the sons of God. And I read Isaiah 62 dealing with the earth. And then there was another scripture that my eye, and it's all the way in Revelations. And there's the story of the woman and her child being pursued by the dragon. And I'm going to hope that the listeners are familiar with that story. And I have heard a lot of people preach about the identity of the woman. I have not heard anyone preach, and if you have, awesome. But I haven't heard anyone preach about who it is that rescues the offspring. And yet, I find that one of the most intriguing lines in the whole Bible. It does not say that believers rescue. It does not say that the Lord God performs the rescue. It does say that when the dragon spews out his flood, that the earth is who rescues the woman and her offspring.
Well, amen. Let me shed some light on that. You know, the finale rescue comes at his second coming. That's at the finale. The finale of everything is actually Yeshua is going to return to save Israel and the world because of ultimate destruction of it. And so he returns. And at that point, he deals with them. And so that is the rescue, so to speak. Part of the rescue doesn't have to happen as you might think, maybe, because also his servants, his people, are after the midpoint of the tribulation, dear, are sealed in the forehead. The mark of the beast is an imitation of God's mark that is put upon his people, so they will not be hurt by anything. And while it's going to be horrendous for the first part of the tribulation, first half of the tribulation for his people, but after the midpoint of this tribulation, and we don't know how long the last of the tribulation will be because they say the time will be cut short, but we know that his people will be sealed and that they will be protected and they will see the reward of the wicked, because nobody's flying out of here until the dead arise in Christ first. Otherwise, and that happens when? At the last trumpet. You can go read right through Revelation and see when the last trumpet is and when it happens and what happens prior to that. And so then in Revelation 20, it talks about all the things that happen in the first resurrection. And that's part of that. So the grand rescue, so to speak, is the finale, is Yeshua coming to the earth and saving the earth, and they reign on earth 1,000 years.
Yes. In chapter 12, and this is what I'm covering in the book with the creature and creation, mm-hmm. they play a part. Creation plays a part. God has a plan, and people in creation aren't going to be sitting on the sidelines. They're part of his army. And so in Revelation 12, this just struck me. Not just now, but when I was reading through things back in 1986, mm-hmm. that, and I'll read starting with verse 15. The serpent poured water like a river out of his mouth after the woman to sweep her away with the flood. But the earth came to help the woman, and the earth opened its mouth and swallowed the river which the dragon had poured from his mouth. There are directions and information contained throughout the Bible that I haven't heard anybody talk about, which I've been waiting to hear them talk about these things since 1986. And I was prompted to go ahead and publish.
Well, amen. So that's what you're talking about in your book. You're talking about in your book how the people can flee to the wilderness and how the wilderness will protect them from, is that what you're saying?
Well
shield them from what's coming?
That's kind of a really simplified way to put it. But
well, you told me to keep it simple.
Yeah, that's true. But there's a multitude of directions throughout the scriptures that the last generation, what I refer to as the last generation of Christians on this earth as we know it now, the unredeemed earth, but there's things that we ought to know, that we ought to be teaching our children.
Well, amen. Without using scripture terms, you know, because just put it in simple words. So what are you saying? That I mean, can you give us what should a normal person be doing? You know, I mean, should we be moving to the wilderness? Is that what you're saying? Or should we be getting closer to God, making relationships? Because, you know, I'm with you. It's all about relationships. If you don't have that personal relationship with Yeshua, there is no preparation in the planet that's going to help you in this time.
Well, right.
So just simplify it. Tell the people.
Read the scriptures. Keep an open mind when you read the scriptures. It's so important because the Lord is talking about things and teaching things that you are not, the majority of people are not getting fed. They're not being taught in the churches. And
the majority of the people in the churches there aren't even getting anything about the end times, and it's even close, other than maybe if they're going to fly out.
Yeah. When people ask, well, should I flee to the wilderness? My answer is, you know, you are going to have to be where God tells you to be and be doing what he wants you to be doing. You don't want to be counted AWOL. You want to, and where you are at the time, deal with it. But be aware of your resources as a
Right. No matter. Look, that's like telling a person, you know, look, even if you're in a big city, you need to have a certain amount of preparations, either to be able to stay in your home, shelter in home for a little while, and then maybe a bug out pack if you have to get out of the city. You need to be able to be aware of what way you would leave the city. You need to be able, but these things come, but your big critical thing, which I believe in, is that you shouldn't do anything unless you have that relationship and you're hearing from the Father, because he may decide to save you right there in the fire, just as he saved Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in a fiery furnace, and he saved Daniel in the lion's den. He may choose to save you in place, but then again, you have to be aware. Learn to listen to the Holy Spirit. You know, I'll be driving my car along the road sometimes, and I'll just have a complete unction, and I know it's from the Spirit. It says, go this other way. Well, it's, that other way is longer to get home, but I go that other way blindly, and I get home, never knowing what it is that I might have avoided had I went on that same way back.
Well, that's right. And a lot of people that are, and I cover what I'm going to touch on here in the book also, a lot of people will ask me, well, you know, so we're supposed to flee to the wilderness, and I live on the foothills of a mountain range over here. A national park is right around me, the Olympic National Park. Right. And I can tell people that there's military presence everywhere.
Right.
I did a report on something called Smart Dust years ago, a few years ago, and I don't know if you're familiar with Smart Dust, but these little, what they call dust motes, Smart Dust motes, they're smaller than the tip of your pencil, a lot of them. They don't have to be that small, but they can be that small. And they're able to pick up audio, temperature, and motion. And some of them are equipped with cameras. Companies are using these when they build buildings, when they build highways. Farmers are using these. They're dusting their crops with them because these smart dust motes are capable of telling a company, you know, if a building's plain or a bridge or, you know, the highway's wearing out or how many cars are going over it. They tell the farmers when it's okay to water their crops, etc. But these things also have microchips and tiny batteries within them.
Right, right. I get what you're saying, that's interesting. You should make an article about that and put it on.
Well, I cover this. I did an article. It is in the book. So I have studied this fairly extensively. The article I wrote was actually for a college course, so it has references within it. But when people talk about going into the wilderness, the mountains, and this should be one of the most remote and protected mountain ranges that we've got in America.
Right.
This is, you know, another one of those places that got put on the World Heritage List, and it should be protected by the United Nations. But on the same token, we have more than just our military having war games and practices and et cetera back here. And this isn't something that I'm just saying. They've asked permission to use family property to land their guys, and then their guys go into the woods, and then somebody goes on a hike, and they get a machine gun in their face and told to move and go back.
Right.
So when people talk about running into the hills, you've got to go in there wherever you're supposed to be at, whether it's in the city or the mountains, knowing who you are in Jesus Christ.
Amen.
With the spirit of Elijah. There's not enough food out in any hills for people, unless they are to eat something like stinging nettle or, you know, dandelions. There's not enough meat out there for the amount of people that might be running there. But like Jesus multiplied the fish and the bread, Elijah did the oil and the flour with the widow.
Let me jump in for just a second. There's a lot of us that believe. Now, you know, I've been on radio for a very long time, and I've been doing a mail-out newsletter since, you know, I did 20 years of that. I've been into this since in the 90s. And I've in a couple of things real quick. Number one, I've talked to a lot of people that the Father has moved out into the mountains. Specifically, we'll use the Rocky Mountains as an example. People out there that are waiting for something to happen, and that they've had visions of people coming up out of California, you know, burnt and bloody from what happened there, and they're going to take care of them. There are places of refuge around this country that people aren't going to announce where they're at. They'll be there, and the people will be guided to them by the Spirit. Something else that you said really, really heavily put is these things scattered out all through the mountains, and they're making, they are going and doing war games in these mountains, training in these mountains. They're doing that for a reason. The reason is to be able to, if something happens and the people run, they can go after them. I get that totally. And the mountains can be monitored. That's why I'd love to see this article of yours. And so you're hitting on a lot of really, really important things dear, you are being absolutely correct. And we have to have the unction of the Holy Spirit to guide us in wherever we go, or none of it will work. And the last thing is, in this time, we believe that we're supposed to do all that we can to prepare, and then the Father will make up the rest. When we do our part, then he'll do the rest. Back to you.
So what is covered in the book also are the strategies that other biblical figures have used in the past. And since God is a God who repeats things, and things that happened in the past were a shadow of things to come, I go over what has worked before for prophets, for Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, Daniel, Joshua, etc. And
really
so there's David. So there's strategies that they've employed that we, whoever is in that generation, I mean, we can use them now and we should, but especially whoever is in the last generation should be taught. And one extremely important thing that everybody seems to be missing, and don't get me wrong, I haven't heard you, maybe you haven't, but the saints are going to be singing. You know, there's a song that the saints are going to be singing, and I have yet to hear anybody who is in charge of the flock be teaching that song to believers, to their children, and it's the song of Moses. And there's a reason. What God is going to do directly parallels what he did when he brought Israel out of Egypt.
Amen.
And by golly, it's really awesome.
I really believe that. And let me tell you something I want to do. I think that I should have read your book before this, and so we could have had a little better conversation, because I think you have a whole bunch there that really needs to be out. I think that I ought to get a copy of your book, and then we ought to read the book, and then do another program, and that way you can get more relaxed, and I can question you about the things that I know are in the book. I really do think that you have something for the people. Otherwise, I wouldn't have been led to put you on radio. I really, really do think that you're hitting things on the nail on the head that I've heard out of other people that I do know about, but not a lot of people are talking about them right now. A lot of people haven't talked. I haven't heard anybody using all those different biblical examples of the different biblical stories at once and putting it into one place where people can grasp it. That's important to the body of Messiah. But that's what I think. Back to you. You've got about 2 minutes.
I would love that. I would love it. I've heard people I've got a burden for the Lord. Lord put this burden on me. The burden that the Lord put on me is to give the people living and or dying within the Great Tribulation hope. Give them a song to sing.
Well, amen. And you know what, folks? Listen, folks, you should go to our website, and we need to tell them the name of the website again before we get out of here. And of course, there will be a link to it. But the proceeds that any money that you make from this book, you've been buying Bibles with it and sending the Bibles to people that need them. Correct?
Yes, that is correct.
And so you don't. So therefore, you don't have a monetary reason for this book.
This is like at first fruits. I had to do this. This is totally dedicated to the Lord. This is his thing.
Okay.
I'm just that anomaly that happens to be a woman that is. I don't know.
You know what? First off, we're going to do two things. I'm going to send you an email. Make sure you get it, and then we're going to talk some before the next time we put you on. But I'm going to get it. We're going to get a copy of your book to me, and I'm going to read the book, and I'm a real fast reader. And you're going to come back on, and you're going to explain some of this stuff to the people, because I really believe that you have a message that's needed. But we've really run out of time for today, so. I'll let you say goodbye, but first I'm going to give you your website. It's thelordssecondcoming.wordpress.com. thelordssecondcoming.wordpress.com. Folks, get the book, and she'll be back to talk. Okay, so you need to say goodbye so I can say goodbye and get out of here.
Goodbye, and God bless all you people listening.
Okay, bye-bye, dear.
Bye-bye.
Well, folks, okay, bye-bye. Folks, check out her book. You know, this is the first time, to my knowledge, that she's been on radio, and so basically talked her into it, okay? We must remember there is only one God. He is your Father. He's the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. His Son is Yeshua HaMashiach. He gave his life for repentant sins. He rose after 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. And through him, and only through him, is the way of the Father. Remember, always be a blessing to others. Lord our God, Father King Universe, asking Yeshua HaMashiach's name, Father, that you would bless and keep them, and that your face would shine upon them, and that you would please be gracious to them and give them peace like no one or nothing else can. Until next Thursday, this is Pastor Dan saying goodbye and shalom.
You've just heard the Messiah's Branch broadcast featuring Pastor Dan. To contact Dan on the internet, go to messiahsbranch.org. To write to Dan, send a note to Messiah's Branch, 230 West 4th Street, Florence, Kansas, 66851. Tune in next time for Messiah's Branch.